Lord, and Lord, truly you are in our presence. Lord, I just ask your Holy Spirit, Almighty God, to speak to our hearts, Lord. Strengthen us in our walk with you in these last days, Lord. Lord, cause our lights to shine brightly, Lord, in this dark world. Lord, through the trials and the tribulations and all the things that we go through, Lord, and all of the setbacks, Lord, let them be for your glory. Lord, you be glorified in all of these, Lord. Show your hand, show your mercy, show your grace, Lord, show your love. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And I ask your anointing above your word, Lord. And let every word that proceeds out of my mouth, Almighty God, be acceptable in your sight, Lord. And Lord, you said your word would not return unto you void. So Father, we just pray that, Lord, your word is given back to you. And I ask you to bless our hearts and our souls and our spirits and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we've all been in Genesis, and Genesis is extremely a foundational book. It's one book that years ago we began to teach, and our little Bible study grew from about six people to 24 in about a space of 1 year. After that, the pastor of the church at that time said, wow, that's a church, so we need to split it up. So we split it up, and somehow it dissolved. But that being the case, many walked away with a foundation in God's Word that was extremely important to carry them through their walk with the Lord. Many times when I'm reading God's Word, especially in Genesis and throughout the Bible, I wonder why would God, a holy God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of all that we know as substance, okay, everything, why would he create man? I mean, here he is in heaven, here he is with in glory and beauty beyond human comprehension, holiness beyond human comprehension. He had angels, he had all this, but why would he create man? Why did he create us? He created the angels. We're not created in the likeness of angels. We're created in his likeness, according to Genesis. We're created in his likeness. So why would he create man? He created man for one reason and one reason only, and that is summed up in the Hebrew word agape, unconditional love. God's plan from the beginning was to dwell with man. Man's plan from the beginning was to do his own thing and to be his own God. So throughout Genesis, we see that, and we discussed that in Genesis 15 last week. But today I want to take a look at chapter 1 in Genesis. So we're going to go through verse by verse, and we're just going to highlight the verses. So if you want to follow along, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, starts right off the bat. It's more of a title. God created the heavens and the earth, okay? He began his dwelling with man's purpose by creating heavens and the earth, because he already existed before that. He was dwelling on high well before that, okay? So he created the earth, and the earth was without form and void, formless and void, and empty, dark, and covered by the Spirit of God in deep waters. The formless part of that means the atomic structure, the neutrons, protons, and all the components to create life were existing, but they had not yet formed. Does that make sense? They existed, but they had not yet formed. Let me give you an example. H2O, hydrogen by itself, oxygen by itself. The two had not been formed to create water, H2O. So there is a balance that God has made in throughout the universe with everything, including the very light that comes from the stars, the very heat that comes from the stars, the radiation, all of it is perfectly balanced for one reason and one reason only, and that's to support life on this planet. Wow. And why would God do that? His love formed that. His love put this universe in place for you and I. His love upon you transcends all things. And he proved his love right out the gate when he said, and God commanded light to exist, and light appeared in verse 3 and verse 4, and God saw the light was good and separated it from the darkness. So he put the elements in place. And then the elements began to, he began to form those elements on every day two. And God saw the light was good on day two. Verse 5, and God named the light day and the darkness night, and making the first day. Actually, the first day. Then verse 6, he made an expanse to divide the waters. God separated the waters above the waters below. And verse 7, God named the expanse sky, and evening and morning made the second day. So why was God doing all of this? He was creating a home for you and I. He was creating a place for his creation to exist. He was creating a place for his creation to exist that he might dwell with his creation. That was his purpose from the very beginning, is to dwell with man. And when we get into further into the Old Testament, he tabernacled with him. In other words, the tabernacle was all about, I will dwell among my people. He wants to dwell among us. How much are you loved? When God, the creator of the universe, wants to dwell with you, and he's going to dwell in you, as we get further into God's word, he's going to dwell in you and be in his dwelling. Why he wants to dwell is because he wants to show us his love, his agape, unconditional love. Whatever we do, okay, he loves you. Okay, neither death nor height nor principalities nor things past nor things present nor things to come can separate you from the love of God, according to Romans. And Paul knew the scriptures. He knew and understood why God created all of this, and that is to dwell in the presence of his creation. Verse 8, and you can see all the way down in verse 9, he gathered the water so it could appear. And he named verse 10, he named the dry land earth and gathered the waters and seas. And 11, God told the earth to produce plants and fruit-bearing trees. How many of you are dads, and how many of you are providers for your family? Why do you do that? That's what God did for us. He brought everything together for us. He brought the plants and the fruit-bearing trees. So he put into position all the life-supporting entities, all the life-supporting components on the face of this planet before he created man. He said, I've got you. I'm going to make all of these things before I create man. So I'm going to put him in a garden. I'm going to put him in a place where he's going to be fed, protected, health-wise, healing-wise. Verse 12, the earth produced vegetation, and God saw that it was good. In fact, little side note here. If you go through the days of creation, you'll get a kick out of it, because day one, God said it was good when he said the light was good. And when he says it's good in the Hebrew language, God blessed it. That's what that means. Day two, Monday, God doesn't say anything good about that. Did you know that? Doesn't say it was good. Day three, Tuesday, God blessed Tuesday twice. In the Hebrew culture, it's the day of double blessing. So that's when they have their bar mitzvahs and their marriages and what have you. So the earth produced vegetation. Verse 13, the evening and morning marked the third day. 14, now notice, back up there, God commanded the light to exist, and light appeared in verse 3. Now light existed, but down when we see 14, God made lights in the sky to separate the day from the night and mark seasons, days, and years. Going back to science, the lights in the sky, the sun, the moon, all the stars, everything that gives off heat is there for one purpose and one purpose only. I did some research tonight. If it changed by 1%, it would upset the ecology or the ecological clock. In other words, it would upset everything. It would upset the trees. It would upset all of us if it changed by 1%. That's how delicately it's balanced. That's how much God loved us, because there's no nebulous area. There's no gray area. There's no what ifs. It's perfect. And when we get into salvation, it's perfect. He made it the same way. So God placed the lights in the sky to give light to the earth, and they were to govern the day and night and separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Verse 19, and the morning marked the fourth day. So God commanded the waters to swarm with living creatures in the sky with birds. So not only did he create all of this for you and I, He gave us ears to hear the sounds of the birds. He gave us eyes to see his creation. And we take it for granted. Man walks away. Man wants to be his own God. Man wants to rewrite the Bible. In the beginning, man created God. That's what man does. You say, no, I don't do that. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I think I know better than God, when in reality, he knows better than I do. In reality, he walks with us all the time. And when we are going through trials, trials create in us a desperate situation many times to where we have to go back to the source. We have to go back to God's plan. We have to go back to his promises. And his promises are always good. He says in Jeremiah, In Jeremiah, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. His love doesn't change. His love began in Genesis. His love began in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. He set his plan in motion. He set his plan in place. And when we get to chapter 15, we are with Bill, chapter 15, when God makes the covenant with Abraham and he's walking through the pieces that have been severed, have been cut. There's a lamp and a lantern. Odd. I thought that was poetic liberty. A lamp and a lantern. What is that about? When you look at the Hebrew pictograph with that, the first thing is the seed. And the lamp is a light. The seed was the seed that God promised Abraham, and also goes all the way back to Eve, that her seed shall bruise thy heel. So Christ is the one that created all of that. He's the one that accepted that command. He's the one that accepted that covenant. I'm going to do this. So God said in Genesis, the very first chapter, he set everything in motion, everything. And he gave man free rein. He said, okay, did he know we were going to walk away? Did he know we were going to have trials? And yes, trials and circumstances. We read throughout God's word. We see them with Noah in Genesis. Think about that for a second. God told Noah to build a boat. There's no other communication from that point on from God recorded that where he talked with Noah, except you're going to have animals by twos come to the ark, and God closed the ark in. So 600 years, here's Noah waiting. How long have you been waiting for God to answer? What are my thoughts when he doesn't answer my prayers? What are my thoughts? Where am I at when I'm struggling? Where am I at when I'm in the darkness? Where am I at, Lord, when I want to give up? Where am I at? I've created my own God, because my God that I'm afraid of now is fear. When in reality, the God that loves me, he's not afraid at all. And he formed this earth. He created this earth. What in the world do we think we can change? I can go out there and shovel rock till the cows come home, but it won't make another planet. Period. Bottom line, his love endures forever. Bottom line, it started in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. He did not have to create heaven and earth so that we would be able to live here on this planet. And then he created us in his likeness so that he could dwell with us. And Genesis says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Okay, he communicated with God. And that's what he calls us to do on a regular basis. You say, well, I'm not always, you know, I don't kneel down and pray. When you're speaking in your heart, God hears. He knows your thoughts before you even think them. He knows your heart. He knows the fears that we go through. He knows the trials. He knows the doubts. Yet, and he knows our sin. He knows mine. He knows my sinful nature. My sinful nature starts here. But you say, the agape, going back to the reason he did it, it was because of agape. His love for us is unconditional. So God, verse 22, jumping down there, verse 21, actually 21. God created great sea creatures and every living thing in the waters and air, in the waters and air, and saw that it was good. Going back to the comment I made earlier, God gave us lights. He gave us eyes to see those things. And you know what? Man just walks right by it. Man abuses it in a sense. I'm not being negative. I'm just saying overall, we have not tended the garden as I think as God has instructed us to. But giving him the glory. I'll tell you what, when I walk out of my house, there's these little tiny purple flowers that are stuck in the crack of my sidewalk. Okay? And I talk to them every time I go out. And I go, Lord, wow. It's the little things that we praise. We want to praise God for the big things. Well, I won the lotto or whatever it is. I won some stupid big thing, okay? But you know what? Praise him for those small things because that's what he's looking for. That's the true heart. Do you know the most powerful way of a compliment that anyone can pay to any person is when you begin to mimic or act like them, okay? When you begin to mimic or act like them, that's why when Paul says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Christ was God incarnate. He was the visible form of God himself. So he was our example of how we should be and giving thanks for all those things and giving thanks for those little things that he does. I'll tell you a little story. Ruth's clock, we bought this clock. And it plays on the hour, it plays this music. And then it comes apart, the clock comes apart as it's playing the music, literally, all the numbers and the letters. And at the end of the music, it goes back to being what it was. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Well, she had a moth get into the clock. The moth got into the clock, and of course, moths do their thing. So we took the clock apart. Smart move. Took the clock apart. When we took the clock apart, took it all apart, we got the moth, we had a heck of a time getting it back together because, as you mechanics know, there's certain screws that go in certain places. You don't try to take this screw and force it into the place that it doesn't belong. Well, we struggled with that a little bit until I realized we were wrong and had to redo it. When we got it back together, the clock was no good. Did not work. Man. And I sat there on the couch the other night and I'm looking at that stupid thing. I'm going, man, what in the world could we have done? Maybe we should change the battery. Maybe we should do. So we get up in the morning, we're having our coffee, and Ruth takes it off the wall and puts it on the table. And she hit the button and it started working. Started working. And I went, what'd you do? I prayed and I asked the Lord, can you make it start working? And he did. He did. Ask her. I'm going, now why? No, it's a coincidence. No. Nope. It's the love of God. Because see, when he speaks, he moves the earth. He will move your situation. He will move your roadblocks, the things that are blocking you from a closer walk with him. He will remove those. Sometimes those things are painful. Sometimes you think you're going backward. Sometimes you think you're alone. But he will remove those things that are inhibiting your walk with him and your trust in him. Peter says, we go through these fiery trials to try our faith. When I'm going through these trials, it's not that God is angry with me. Although I think it, my mind does. God's mad. I should have prayed today. Should have read my Bible. Da, 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 da. No. His love does not change. Okay. The whole purpose of God creating man is to show man his mercy, God's mercy to us, in spite of our setbacks, in spite of our doubts, to show his love for us, his agape love. I know where you've been. I know what's going through your heart. I know what you're going through. I want you to know that I am with you. I want you to know that I understand. And you say, how could you understand? Because he, when he came to earth in human form, he stepped out of eternity, came to you. He went through everything that you and I go through. 10 times worse. The intensity was far greater than you and I could ever withstand. When Pilate, we talked about this before, when Pilate scourged him and they brought him in to the veranda, and Pilate looked out over the crowd, hollering, "Crucify!" Pilate said, "Behold, this is a man." He was so, and Isaiah says he was so disfigured. We couldn't recognize him as a human being. We see him on the cross. We see, you know, we see all these pictures of him. It's foolishness, because his love for you stood in your place. He not only created this entire universe to support us, but he not only did, he stepped out of eternity and he promised Abraham, I'm going to send you a son. And through that seed, through Eve's seed, all mankind would be blessed through Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, the creator and sustainer of heaven and earth. That's what it's all about. He not only gave us the ability to live in these bodies on this earth, but he also gave us the ability to spend eternity with him where he's at. You shall dwell with me. Okay, it says heaven, man has not seen, nor ear has heard, can't even begin to understand the glory, the power, the beauty, the mercy, the grace that waits for you when you move out of your body and go into eternity. We cannot begin to understand that. But he's confirmed it. It's his covenant, not my covenant. You say, is it his covenant? Yes, he created all the heavens and earth for that one point. God did that. And if he did that, then he created man. And then he created a covenant with man, said, I want to dwell with you. Why does he want to dwell with us? So that we can see his glory. We can see his glory in this body without being dissolved. We can see that little little flower popping up there, you know, among these hard stones. They're fastened, almost fastened together, and there's one little slit, and there's these beautiful, beautiful purple little flowers going through there. Oh, the glory of God. Oh, the power of God. Oh, the love of God is beyond human comprehension. Oh Lord, why did you gave me eyes to see that? He goes, yes, from the beginning of time. From when I began, he said, I knew you before you were even born. I knew you. I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew exactly who you were going to be. And I love you. That's why he's great. So in the beginning, God, it goes all the way through the scriptures. And this, yes, we can get into a lot of theological debate about a lot of different things. But the bottom line is Jesus Christ, him crucified, and he is the King of the universe. And he is the creator and sustainer of all things. And he stepped out of that creation, out of that eternity, and came down, and his covenant, not yours, not your commitment, not how great and wonderful we are, his covenant with you is unbreakable. And man, if that doesn't give you a shot of hope, that's great. God, even from the beginning, in Exodus, God even tells him in Exodus 25:8, God says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Wow. The problem with it is man makes his own God in his own mind. Did you know that? We have a vision of God in our mind. We think we know who he is. We think, yeah, I know who he is. Do you? Do you really know who he is? When you see him in the majesty of all creation, Paul talks about in Romans, you cannot look at creation and not see the hand of God in this. And when you see the hand of God in all creation, it will humble you and say, wow, Lord, you love me that much? That you put all this together for me? Yes. And I say for me because it's for you and for I. But man wants to make, he wants to go his own way. He wants to walk away. And, you know, we argue about stupid things, you know, everything political, theological. I mean, there's always pros and cons, you know, and what's it called, yin and yang and all that. Shut up. Look up. Because the wars that are coming, the battles that are coming, the battles are hitting the leadership in the church. I'm talking the true church. I see pastors that are multi-billionaires, okay? Preachers that are multi-billionaires that refuse to preach Jesus Christ, that refuse, and Satan is leading them away, leading them down the straight. But there's the smaller churches like this church right here. There are more people, more godly people in this church than there is in a mega church in many cases. I am dead serious. You go there, he's been there, he's been to mega churches, and he walks in, and all of a sudden, the attitude shifts from God to, gee whiz, isn't this a beautiful place here? Yeah, we got to. No, guys. My heart's desire, and always has been, my heart's desire is that you walk so closely with God, you feel his heartbeat. You put your ear on his chest just like John did. He put his head on his breast and he could hear boom, 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 the heartbeat of the King of the universe. Wow. That's huge. That is tremendous. Because he knew what John was going to go through. He knew what all the disciples were going to go through. He knows what you're going to go through. And what we go through is going to be a test. That test is going to be, David, are you going to stand firm on my word, or are you going to bow before the masses? I created all this for you. Do you think I don't have the power to change it? Do you think I don't have the power to stop the earth? Do you think I don't have the power to handle your trials? Sometimes we go through some deep waters, and boy, I tell you what, sometimes those deep waters are not only to bring us to the Lord, but to also show us where some things are blocking my walk with him, a closer walk. And then another time it may be he wants me to change something. Maybe he wants me to move, like what we talked about one time before about eagles. When baby eagles are born, they're in the nest, and the mama keeps feeding them and feeding them, and their nests are very, very high up in the mountains, and they keep feeding them and feeding them, and as they keep feeding them, they grow bigger and heavier, and the next thing you know, those little nesting material starts sticking into the bottom, and they're going, man, this is uncomfortable. Yeah, I know. Get off of me. You get off of me. You know, and they're back and forth, and they keep eating and growing until they get to a point to where they can't stand anymore because they're fat and they're getting stuck with the stickers. So guess what? They get pushed out. And you know what they do on the way down? Scream. Did you know that? they scream. That's us. When we get pushed out of our comfort zone, we scream all the way down until the Holy Spirit picks us up. He says, I got you. Spread your wings. I have a new plan for you. And they soar off to do God's will. When God created man, when he created the earth and the heavens and all that's in it, guess what? It wasn't for naught. It wasn't for, gee whiz, standing around with the angels and saying, you know what? Hey, let's make an earth. Yeah, that sounds good. What are we going to put on it? Monkeys. No, we're not going to do that. He didn't do that. It was all planned. And it was planned for one reason only. And you know what that was? You. That's it. You. You, 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 you. It was planned for you and you. That's what it was planned for. When we grasp a hold of what the Lord has done for us, not only in the past, but in the present, and he's brought me through some garbage, my garbage that you would not believe, and I lament over that. And Bill mentioned that in our Wednesday night study last week about your sins, the seeds of your sins come back to haunt you. Okay? Not that you go out and repeat those, but they're here. And every time they're here, you see the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit's lens, you see the disgust. And you see the garbage behavior. You see that. and it's there, and you begin to dislike that person. God knew you were going to do that before you even knew it, number one. And had you not gone through that, you would never know His mercy, His grace, and His love. And that was the reason for man being created. People say, well, there's all these rules, you know, the thou shalt nots, the Ten Commandments, and all that stuff. Those were not punitive. The Ten Commandments were not put there to stumble man. The Ten Commandments were put there as a guidepost for mankind. If you can do these, you can be, I can dwell with you. But you can't do it. Paul talks about that. It was to teach us we have nothing to offer. Abraham didn't have anything to offer when God made the covenant with Abraham. Abraham didn't say, okay, God, Abraham, God told Abraham which animals to bring. And then God made the covenant with Abraham while Abraham was sleeping or in a trance. We don't really know. It doesn't say. It just says. But our salvation is the same way. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, He paid that price. And He paid that price, and that's His covenant with us. When He said on the cross, it is finished. It was signed, and it was over. Now, how do I live that? When I begin to see who He is, when I begin to see His creation, when I begin to see His love for me, when I begin to see the trials that I go through that direct me to Him, when I begin to see the fact that it ain't over, and He has an eternity waiting for me. He has a new body waiting for us. And I don't know about you guys, but my body's getting old, and it hurts. It hurts a lot, okay? Especially shoveling rock. But the new body, this body is a covering to support us, to support this spirit here on this earth. Did you know that? It's to support you on this earth. But this body is going to go into the dust from whence it came. But you, the real you, the created one, that God, His Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit, the real you, will go to be with Him into His presence all through this process of call, from creation to the resurrection. All of that's been planned. So when we understand who He was, the highest form of compliment, which you mentioned earlier, is when we begin to mimic the person that we're complimenting. Meaning that I compliment Dennis, so I'm going to act like Dennis. I'm going to start eating brownies. Okay. But that's how we should be. We should say, Lord, if this is of You, open the door. Lord, if this is not of You, close the door. But because I am weak and You are strong, I pray, Lord, that I'm going to walk forward. And that door that You want me to go through, I'm going to try the knob. I'm going to try it. And if it's Your will, it will open. If it's not Your will, then okay. We have to get to the point to where I rest in Him. And God talks about that in Hebrews. He says, actually, let's flip over here. Give me just a second here. Can we break to a commercial real quick? In Hebrews, God speaks about, they shall not enter into My rest. Because, and what is the rest that He's talking about? It's that peace of knowing. That rest is that peace of knowing, okay, Lord, I'm Yours. And that's hard to do sometimes. Ruth is going to fly back to California here tomorrow, and she will be on that aircraft. She'll be on a 737 heading to Ontario, California. Guess what? She has two choices. One, she can sit there, look out the window, enjoy the flight, regardless of the turbulence or storms or whatever's going on in the cockpit, or, you know, running out of fuel, whatever the situation might be. But she's there. She has no control. She's there along with the ride. But she knows one thing, usually, as a pilot. The people in the cockpit really know what they're doing. They've been trained. They're experts. They are reliable. That's our walk with God. I've seen his hand. I see his creation. I see why he created that. I see his love to us and all creation. I'm not into pantheism. Pantheism, I was told, you're in pantheism. Pantheism is when you see God in all things. Now, these worshiping trees, worshiping rocks, worshiping, I mean, I know in California used to have these tree huggers, people they call them, okay? And they'd go out there and they'd, oh, don't cut down this tree. I love this tree. It's my family. Nope. The creator of the universe loves you with an everlasting love. He began that love in Genesis. It's going to culminate in Revelation. Between Genesis and Revelation, we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through heartaches. However, there's also blessings, untold blessings that he will pour out upon you, but they're going to be in those small, little, delicate things that you see. Dennis uses the term, God speaks to us in that still, small voice. That's it. That's it. Lord, speak to me in that still, small voice in the middle of the night. I love you. He says, I've got you. I created this for you so that I can dwell with you. I didn't ask you to do anything except trust and believe in me and unfinished work. And that's really what it's all about. Mankind is his poema, is what the Bible says. You know what that poema is? Mankind is my poem, my creation. He created us in his image so that he could dwell with us, fellowship with us, and the joy that is unspeakable, that passes all human understanding, waits for those who trust in him. So when you read God's word, understand he's talking specifically to you. When we see all of creation, understand, Lord, open my eyes, show me these, because I begin to study, and Linda gave me this book, crazy book. It's about mathematics in creation, and it's mind-boggling how everything is so precisely designed and created, just like you. You say, well, I'm short, I'm heavy. He's inside. That's what he's talking about. Exodus, he says, he wanted to make a sanctuary so that he might dwell with him. In Ezekiel, in Revelation 21:3, and man becomes like the God he serves too. So if you're serving the Lord, guess what's going to happen? You will display his characteristics through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you, you'll be met at a crossroads in certain situations. And the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart which way to go. Your flesh and the world is going to tell you to do something opposite of that. God will speak and say, don't do that, or go, I want you to do it this way. When we're at that crossroads, regardless which way we go, God will intervene, just like he does with Abraham and Hagar, which we learned last week. I don't know if we got that far or not, but with Hagar, okay, God still intervened, but his plan with Abraham and his plan with Noah and his plan with creation were all firm, yea and nay. Nothing was variable. Nothing was left out of creation for mankind. Nothing. Nothing was left out of the instructions to Noah. Nothing was left out. Every detail was there, including the people on the boat, including the number of animals that were going to be there, and how to build a boat. If you've ever gone to the ark, it will blow your socks off in the technology that how it was built. And then Abraham, the same way, every detail. I'm going to give you this land. He didn't say, if you do this or if you do that. No, every detail is laid out. Every detail of my life is laid out. Every detail of King David's life and all that from Eve all the way down to the Lord himself being human and being born in Bethlehem, all of that, every detail was laid out. Why can't he lay out every detail of your life? He does. He does. Is it the direction I want to go? No, I'm an Abraham. I'm going to go over here to Egypt. I'm going to go over there. But you know what? It doesn't change his love for me. It doesn't change that flower. It doesn't change that little purple thing that pops up. And I hear it say, I hear the Lord say, David, I did that for you. I gave you the eyes to see that. I gave you the heart to understand that. How many people would go, pfft? I'm not saying that, to pluck it up. That's not the point. The point is every detail of our lives has already been laid out in one purpose only, and that's to draw us closer to the Lord. So that's why he created Genesis. That's why God became man and dwelt among him, because his desire was to dwell among us. And through that, he tells in Jeremiah, all of us should have that written down. I have loved you with an everlasting love. He didn't say, I love you with because you're great and wonderful. I loved you with an ever. Isaiah 54:10 says, my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. The shaking that's going to be coming is going to cause us to be focused. Be focused on him, not my circumstances. Be focused on God's plan, not my circumstances. I don't like that plan sometimes. I would rather have an easy life. But Isaiah 54 says, God speaking, my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. So no matter what happens, no matter what you're going through, no matter the hardships, guys, fasten your seatbelt because you are in Christ and you're seated in the heavenlies is what the Bible says. Did you know that? Right now, you are seated in the heavenlies. Don't ask me how that works. But because you're seated in the heavenlies going through these shaking periods, fasten your seatbelt, okay? And be with him. Lamentations said, for the Lord's great love and his mercies never fail. And then John 3:16, and remember, the only reason God created man was for agape. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not only did he make a covenant with Abraham that was not breakable, with David, with Solomon, with David, all the way through Mary, all the way through the cross, he did it. Romans. Finally, Romans says, nothing. This is hard to understand. Because you can look in the mirror and you can list a whole bunch of stuff. At least I can. Nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as you go through God's word, hang on to those. As you go through life itself, hang on to those. As you go through blessings, as you see those blessings, give God the glory. Give him. I look at the clouds. I look at the majesty of these storms you guys have all seen out here. I look at the greatness of those, and I'm in awe. Let me give you a simple thing. Water weighs 8.3 pounds per gallon. Okay? Water weighs 8.3 pounds per gallon. Oddly enough, it takes the sun's light to go from sun to earth 8.3 minutes. Okay? Coincidence? I don't know. But that 8.3 pounds per gallon, how many gallons is stored in the atmosphere? Where is that weight? You know, some scientists don't understand why clouds stay up there, because they have mass. Because it takes a speck of dust to form a water droplet. Did you know that? Water droplets just don't form. It takes a little speck of a little nucleus of dust. That weight is there. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. In Colossians 1, I'm going to close with that. Go to Colossians 1. We're going to go to verses 13 through 16. Tying it to Genesis. Colossians 1, verses 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Remember the first day when He created light and darkness, He said, light was good. He didn't say anything about darkness. He took us out of the darkness. 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood. He stepped out of eternity and He took my sin and bought bought me with His blood. 15, He is the image. He's dwelling among His people, guys. He's dwelling among His people. He is the image of the firstborn of all creation. Okay? For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. That's why you are here, is for the Lord to have a dwelling place with you. Verse 17, jump down there real quick. For He is before all things, and in Him all things consist or held together. I don't want to get into the sciences, but science still doesn't understand why the light charges, which repel each other in an atom. You have likes and you have positive and negative. Why the likes repel and opposites attract? They don't understand what causes it to hold together. They call it atomic glue or something like that. I'm thinking, no, my Bible says all things consist through Him. Okay. Then verse 27, we'll close with the final one. To them, that's you, that's you, that's I. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among you, the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's got His dwelling place. David says, you are my dwelling place. He's dwelling in you. When you hear Him, watch what the Holy Spirit speaks to you in those quiet moments, because He will speak. And He speaks to me, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. He spoke to David. King David understood all of those things. King David says, Lord, what shall I give unto You for all Your benefits and Your blessings toward me? What can I give? I'll take a cup of salvation. In other words, Christ, and call upon You. God, in the beginning, God. In the middle, God. In the end, God. This is all temporary. And His love for you is the only reason He created all of this in Genesis. So that's kind of all what I had on a spur of the moment to talk about. Any thoughts, any questions, any